Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Hey, Mary, we got a Southern Baptist here who says, I'm a Southern Baptist, he's a guy, and I love a man. What do you think about that?
Well, there's also a lot of Southern Baptists who eat a lot and are fat.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Well, you know, sin is sin, and we still say the Bible, what the Bible says, that, you know, homosexuality is sin, but there are people among the church that are sinners, but that's not their lifestyle. We hopefully the Holy Spirit will move them forward. So, I don't know what this person is saying. Is that okay that the scripture doesn't say that? Yeah, I don't know.
Are you making a distinction between someone, say a guy who might have homosexual desires, but he does not act on them. He knows they're wrong. He tries to deal with them biblically, and he loves the Lord, and he believes that he needs to repent of those desires. You're talking about someone like that could be a Christian versus somebody who has homosexual desires, and he says, well, that's who I am, you know, and I may or may not act on them, or that's who I am, I do act on them. You're making a distinction between those two individuals, right or wrong?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because when you go to, and this is not what we're going to talk about today, you went down a completely different road, which is fine, don't mind going down this road, because it's a conversation. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, right, verse 9, that, you know, some of you were homosexuals, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified, you know, you've been saved, so you're no longer that. You know, everybody talks about, well, you know, why do you believe, you know, what the Old Testament says about homosexuality, but you don't believe what it says about eating shrimp, for example? Well, I believe what the Bible says about eating shrimp. The problem is that lost people don't really understand the Bible. And there's a major difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And certain things that were forbidden under the Old Covenant are not forbidden under the New for lots and lots of reasons, to put it in the vernacular. But there are some things that have always been sin, are sin, and always will be sin. And homosexuality is sin. And the New Testament talks about that. Romans 1, for example, says men exchange the natural use of the woman for, you know, men. And women likewise. So we're going against nature. But that's not what we're going to talk about today per se. So here's a Southern Baptist. And not only a Southern Baptist, but a Southern Baptist pastor.
Oh, wow. He didn't tell me that.
Well, it doesn't matter whether he's just a Southern Baptist man or a Southern Baptist pastor. And he's writing for the Gospel Coalition.
Oh, I didn't. Well, I didn't know where the context were. I'm just, you know, I can see someone. There are always sinners that are among us, and God is in the process of sanctifying us, but you didn't tell me that it was a pastor saying
that.
Yeah,
well, that's okay.
A spiritual leader of a group.
Well, yeah. Well, and see, here's the thing. He's got this provocative title, I'm a Southern Baptist and I love a man. Now, the implication of the title is, I'm a guy, I'm a Southern Baptist, and now we know he's a pastor, but the implication is that he's homosexual, and you kind of think he's going to go down the road that you went down, and talk about how you can have homosexual desire if you don't act on it. You kind of think you might go down that road. Or, because it's the Gospel Coalition, and even though, you know, they come up with some wacky stuff from time to time, they're conservative and they're committed to the gospel, but you kind of wondered, just for a split second there, wait a minute, is this guy being allowed to write on the Gospel Coalition website, and is he going to go down the liberal route and say, hey, I'm a Southern Baptist and I love a man, what's wrong with that? Now, you know, I didn't necessarily think that's where he was going, but you kind of, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Are you going to tell us?
Maybe you don't.
Well, no, yeah, but are you going to tell us what he said?
Well, I am.
Okay.
But listen, yeah. But I got to read you where he's going, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
All right, here's what he says. He says, it feels good to finally make it public. Why? You just did it. Do that on the air. You just mouthed it. I want you to do, guess I want.
I said, wow, okay.
Thank you. I want a gut reaction here. You're going, wow, but you did it silently. Because it sounds like, what?
It sounds like
this guy's a homosexual.
Yeah.
It feels good to finally make it public. I love a man. I'm a Southern Baptist pastor, and it's true. Now, allow me to tell you about this relationship.
Is he going
to
talk about Jesus?
Well, see, that's what I thought he was going to do, too. I thought, okay, he's messing with us.
Okay.
And he's going to talk about Jesus. That's what I thought. Now, hang on. Let me read a little bit more. He says, I met this man in college. Over the course of 3 years, we became the closest of friends. We spent late nights together filled with conversation, both serious and ridiculous. We celebrated victories together and supported one another through difficulties, exams, and relationships. I spent many a late night falling asleep on his dorm room couch or even on his bed while making a half-hearted attempt to study into the wee hours of the morning.
Well, that just sounds like a buddies.
Bosom buddies?
Well,
I'm sorry. You opened the door on that one.
I did. You know, just friends. Well, and the Bible teaches we need friends or you know people that spur us on. But yeah, I guess go on.
You know, when I read that paragraph, I thought, okay, the guy either is gay or he is going to turn this to say that he's talking about Jesus. I spent many late nights with him, fell asleep on his bed, you know, because it all belongs to the Lord. But if he's just talking about a friend, you know, I'm sorry, love the brother. If he's a brother, we'll find out in just a minute. But you just don't talk that way. Men don't anyway. And, of course, I think this guy, after having read the article, would object to what I just said, but I don't care. I'll agree with him on some things, but I'm going to point out some areas of disagreement.
Okay,
but let me keep reading.
Good, because I can't speak to it until you tell me what was said, or I read it for myself.
True. So he says, after college, he celebrated with me and my wife, Mindy, on our wedding day. So now I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be Jesus, or this guy has homosexual desires, but he's not acting out on them, and he's married, and his wife knows about it. And because, look, a lot of people go down that road, too. Although, if you're married and you have desires for someone else, whether it's homosexual or heterosexual, you got a major problem. It's still sin. See, and I don't want anybody to make mistakes. Say you're a married man and you have a desire for another woman who's not your wife. That is sin. Even the desire is sin. And so if you're a married man and you have a homosexual desire for another man, even though, you know, you're married, that desire is sin.
Well, that's
what the Bible says. Yeah, I'm not being ugly. Right. I'm just telling you. You agree?
And in Corinthians 9, that's what he's talking about. Sexual immorality is not allowed. It's not, you're not meant for that.
That's right. See, but we're confused. I know a lot of people who say, well, he has a desire for another woman, but that's not sin as long as he doesn't act on it. That's not true. It is sin. You want me to have a desire for another woman?
No.
No.
I was just thinking of a popular thing my daughter watches. I might not even say the name, but it's one of those. It's one of those little YouTube things that channels or whatever.
Can I say it?
No, not yet. Let me finish what I was going to say
ahead.
First. Anyway, well, she likes to listen to them, and I'll overhear them sometimes because she'll do that during lunch or something. And, you know, I've been noticing they've been getting a little, I don't know other in any other word other than raunchy.
Oh, have they?
They've been getting.
Oh, we're not going to watch that.
No, that's what we. Yeah, well, and I told her that one other time I heard it. We probably do not need to watch them anymore. Well, this time he said they were talking about robots or something. Some of the yous have seen them might know what I'm talking about.
And they are funny.
But anyway, it was a lady robot, and he said, yeah, I when I look at another woman, in my mind, it's biology to think, hey, I want to mate with that person. Do I want to or not? And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I know this guy is a married man. That's really bad. That's what I told my daughter. Let's don't watch that anymore.
Yeah, you kind of blew it. I think what you told me was that he looked at the robot and said, well, I wouldn't want to mate with that. And the other guy was like, what? Well, you know, it's a robot. You know how you look at another woman and you think, would I not want to mate with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the way it went down.
And that's bad.
Yes.
Yeah. That's sin.
So you get the idea that that's what this guy's doing.
Yeah.
So yes, that would be bad.
And see, lest anybody, you know, still objects, the Bible is very clear. Out of the overflow of the heart.
His mouth
speaks. The mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart spring forth the issues of life. So you can't give someone a pass just because they have homosexual desire and say, well, that's not sin as long as they don't act on it. All we said at the top of the show was, okay, here's a guy who might struggle with homosexual desire, but as long as he knows that even that desire is sin and he's trying to deal with that biblically and put it down and repent and doesn't act on it, then yeah, I think a person can be saved because we all struggle with certain sins. But the reality is we have to recognize them as sin and we have to be willing to confess and repent, correct?
Yes.
Yes. But again, that's not where we're going. So he says, here's this, either this guy who's talking about Jesus, or in my mind, a guy that he secretly has a crush on. He says, you know, this guy celebrated, you know, my wedding, and he was exuberant, truly rejoicing with those who rejoice, and as I moved to Louisville, back to the East Coast, one would expect the relationship to slowly fade, but not so. Okay, well, what happened? So, he says, as we both matured in our faith and as men, our love for one another deepened. So, right there, I knew, okay, he's not talking about Jesus, because he's talking about as men.
He's talking about his buddy.
He's talking about a guy. So, our love for one another only deepened. I was busy in seminary, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. He was faithful in keeping up his end of the relationship with thoughtful cards, phone calls, and visits. That's a purposeful sniff.
No, I mean.
Well, okay.
All right, well,
maybe
I mean,
a phone call.
Well, we
maybe
have
a,
we
a
have
card.
A friend.
I don't send cards.
Well, we have a friend that we met in our first church, and we've stayed friends with them for a long time. And he does send you a happy birthday wish every year. It's been like 20 years now. 30
all
maybe.
Right. All right. Let me give him a pass on that. So anyway, he goes on to talk about how he celebrated their birth of their children. Cherishes his wife, the whole bit. We spent countless hours phone conversation, Skype, email. Often we talk as long as 2 hours about struggles, events, funny stories, grace the Lord. Oh, he moved to Newberry, South Carolina. See, I can get in a car and go down and see this guy. And I can have a face-to-face because we live about, 60 miles from Newberry?
That's about right, yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying, they moved to Newberry from Kentucky. I didn't know that. And he continued to visit, paid their way, built things together. We ran things together. We enjoyed God's creation together. And I had the blessing of watching the Lord change his desires and call him toward training for the ministry. Anyway, he goes on and on about all of this. And he says, here's how he ends this section. For all of these things and for a future filled with more of this kind of love, joy, and Christian brotherhood, I must say, Lord, I thank you for this man that I love. Okay? All right. So, then he says, he's got a little title over the next section of his piece here. And it's called The Lie.
Okay.
And he says, two groups tell us that this kind of love is impossible. First, the world. If I were to tell nearly everyone on the street that I felt this way for a man, they'd insist I was experiencing homosexual attraction. This is a lie. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I mean, I'll come back to it. But I wouldn't necessarily say that. I'd have to ask a few more questions, which is what we're doing. He says, second, though, talking about two groups of people who find this kind of love impossible. Second, the church. Many of our churches would have us believe that the brotherly love the Bible encourages must somehow develop over a bowl of buffalo wings while welcoming a UCF or watching a UCF fight. This, too, is a lie. Well, obviously, if folk believe that, then, yeah, they're believing a lie. He says, we as the church have conceded the kind of love I share with this brother of mine to the gay community. We're fearful of misinterpretation by our culture, fearful of vulnerability, fearful that maybe it's unbiblical. This is a lie from the Prince of Darkness. He wants brothers in Christ feel uncomfortable, truly loving one another. He's perverted brotherly affection with homoeroticism and made it completely inaccessible to the believer. we as believers can no longer conceive of the kind of love that Peter encourages, quote, a sincere brotherly love, loving one another earnestly from a pure heart. Where is the love that is characterized by a humble mind and tender heart? He's quoting 1 Peter. Satan has stolen David and Jonathan relationships from us, brothers in Christ. What will you do about it? To love another man as your own soul, 1 Samuel 18:1, is not homosexual love. It is the love of Christ. It is a true willingness to lay down your life for your brothers, 1 John 3:16. We must build these kinds of relationships with one another, men who truly love other men. And then he finishes it up, and we're going to talk. Brothers, if we display the love of Christ for one another, we may begin to establish credibility with the gay community. They don't believe we can love other men. Let's prove them wrong. Perhaps then, after seeing the true light of the gospel, love of Jesus, they will be drawn from the darkness where Satan holds them captive and into the marvelous light of Christ's self-sacrificial love. Chad Ashby, by the way, pastor of College Street Baptist Church, Newberry, South Carolina. Wife, three boys, graduate of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Okay. Now, I must be in a cave. Because I don't see men. I mean, I see in our church and in every church we've served, which is several, I see men have true, I guess you want to call it love, brotherly love for other men. I've seen that everywhere. I don't see the church saying that type of love is bad. I have not experienced that in.
Well, I'm glad.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I'm glad.
And I think that that we all think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We want our husbands as wives to have godly men who are spurring them on.
Yeah.
You know, and have a close enough relationship to know maybe even things that a wife doesn't see.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So I don't know where I've been.
Well,
to say that the church denies that.
I agree. Can we come back to that?
Okay.
I think it is an excellent point, and I do want to elaborate on it just a bit. But can we come back to it?
Okay.
Okay. Here's my 23-year-old daughter, who's on the broadcast with us from time to time. Now, right now, she's on a road trip. Right? Have we mentioned this before? It's not important. Doesn't matter. But she is.
With a good friend.
Good Christian friend. They're out there seeing God's creation. They're both women. They're good friends. They're sisters in Christ. No homoerotica there, praise God. But, I'm just saying, in light of what we're talking about. And they've had an opportunity to share Christ with others. Anyway, they're out on the road, but she sends us little, you know, updates day by day, what's going on, and of course, we're happy to get those, but she also sends me articles that she's reading because, you know, they're keeping up with different things. It's not just about the trip. And so she sends me this is the way I came across this particular piece out on the Gospel Coalition. Got several articles I've looked at this week, things we're going to talk about as we go forward in the next few days. But this one, she just happened to text me. She texted me the link and she says, what do you think about this?
This article.
Yeah. Now, whenever she does that, you know, I know it's something that
she's questioning.
That
her,
she either she either likes it or she doesn't like it or she's not sure what to think about it, and so she wants to interact with someone about it. Not that she's just going to buy wholeheartedly into my opinion because it's my opinion, but praise the Lord, she wants to get you know, some counsel, some insight. The Bible says there's wisdom in many counselors, right?
Right.
So she says, what do you think about it? And the first thing that came to my mind after I read it was the Allstate commercial. You remember the Allstate commercial just a few years ago? And you had these two guys, I don't know who they were, but they go to the game together. And
I like steak tartare.
Yeah. That's a particular one. They're sitting out behind the thing. I wish I could remember, you know, all the things leading up to it and their names. One had a beard, one didn't, I think, and so they're like having this big fancy deal, but it's like a tailgating thing out in front of the stadium.
A big bowl of buffalo wings, like the article said.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, the waiter dressed in a tux comes up, even though they're tailgating, they're at a football game. Sir, can, you know, what's your order, et cetera? And the first guy goes, I'd like, as you just said, steak tartare. And the other guy goes, I'll have the same, but no tartare sauce. And the first guy goes, no tartar sauce. and he says, I don't like it. That was way too long of a setup.
It really was.
Sorry.
Your point was...
But that was my reaction to the article. I don't like it.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
I don't like it. Don't like it at all.
Yeah, I don't think he's representing
no.
what's going on, really.
That's right. That's right. See, and look, that's just two reasons for you. Well, that's... No, you're going back to your one reason. You don't think he's representing what's going on. That's why you don't like it.
That's right.
All right, I got three main...
Well, I don't like his... provocative, the way he's talking.
All right, so that's two reasons.
The way he's equating the brotherly love with, in that one statement, he's saying that the homosexuals don't believe that we can have brotherly love without intimate feelings.
Yeah, well.
Or, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. You might have the start of a third reason there. I don't know.
Okay.
And what's interesting is that they're very similar to mine, which is good because it means we're looking through the same lens, and hopefully it's a biblical lens and not just, you know, that we've been married 30 years.
Yeah, we can do good on the newlywed game.
Oh, man. We paired up on that game. Of course, you couldn't do that game because some of the questions they asked.
That's true.
Bob Eubanks. Now, he's a sinner, isn't he? Oh, man, just kidding. I'm a sinner, too.
That's an inside joke.
It's an inside joke. So here's what I said. I texted my daughter. Okay? And I'm going to read these reasons to you one at a time. And look, I wasn't attempting to be scholarly in my, you know, this is a text.
Some of your texts are quite lengthy. They come in like four at a time.
Yeah.
Four posts at a time. They're too big.
Right. But we're just going to talk about it. I said, first, he's being intentionally provocative in the first part of the article. This is why I don't like it. I mean, he really is. Think about the title. I'm a Southern Baptist and I love a man. You know, the first line of the article, I'm finally, you know, glad to be out in public. And he talks about these late nights in the dorm room, being on his bed. I mean, come on, bro. Give me a break. You don't talk like that. We know what you're trying to do. That's just wrong. That's not what I said in my text. I said I was going to read the text, but I didn't.
Okay.
I got carried away.
Yes.
I don't like it.
All right, go. I got to keep you on track if you're here.
Well, first, he's being intentionally provocative in the first part of the article. He wants you to think he's talking about homosexuality, though you are anticipating a shift based on the fact that the Gospel Coalition is a Christian group. One is anticipating that he is somehow going to shift to talking about loving Jesus or, in his case, a brother. But he couches it in cultural homosexual terms, and I think that's wrong. I just don't think he should be doing that. Because as you say, here's another reason. To talk about the brotherly love that we men are to have for one another, or you women are to have for one another, or that brothers and sisters in Christ are to have for one another. To talk about it in those terms is not how the Bible talks about it. When you look at brotherly love in the Scriptures, you don't get the impression that these two guys are homosexual. If I say to someone, I love you, brother, you don't get the impression that I'm a homosexual. You just get the impression that I have a brotherly love for this kind of brother. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We had two missionaries who just got home from the mission field. They're in Uganda, husband and wife. I feel the freedom to say to both of them, we love you guys. Now, I'm not saying anything to him that's homosexual, and I'm not saying anything to her that's wrong either. Right?
Right.
Okay. Second, I said, I'm going to get all these reasons on the table, and then we can converse a little bit. Or do you want to say something?
No, keep going. Okay. Point number two.
I couldn't tell.
No.
I couldn't tell if you're ready to jump in or not. Second, now this is your point. So you made the point first of giving you credit. Not that it matters about credit. But here's how I put it. I said, I'm not real sure he's actually addressing a real problem. I have absolutely no problem saying I love my brothers in Christ. I have no problem telling my brothers I love them. I do it all the time. But there is no doubt that we are talking about brotherly love. So I don't know too many biblical Christian men who would object to biblical brotherly love. I mean, again, I'm just writing a text. And, we've said this two or three different ways already. I don't think this is a problem. I don't think people in the church are sitting around saying, oh, we couldn't have close brotherly love. And I don't think homosexuals are sitting around talking about us that way either. I just don't. And when he says, well, if you have that stronger love for one another, then the world's going to say, well, you have homosexual attraction. I don't think they're going to say that. I think what they're going to say is, when you talk in the terms that you talk, that you're talking like a homosexual, which we ought not do. But that's a totally different thing than saying, if I have deep, profound brotherly love for a brother and we have a close relationship and, you know, relate to one another and converse with one another and share with one another and whatever he said. I just don't think anybody thinks anything about that. Third, ready, got to move on. At the same time, I certainly don't think speaking about loving a man this way, I'm sorry, the way he does, here it is. Here's my third reason I don't like the article. I can't even read my own text. it's my, what do you call these? Bifocals. At the same time, I certainly don't think speaking about loving a man the way he does in this article is going to suddenly affect homosexuals in a biblical way. See, that was his last point. Remember, if we talked this way or acted this way, all the homosexual
would say, hey, what you're experiencing is...
No. The last part of the article, he said we could win them to Christ.
Okay. I'm thinking through that. Just
well, the first part of the article, he's... Okay.
I got what you said. Well, I was just thinking about what I was going to say to that.
Well, I thought you were going back to the first part of the article.
No.
Forgive me.
What I was going back to is to the lie. So I think you may be saying, okay, you might be experiencing these feelings, and therefore you push it, talking to a homosexual, and therefore you push it too far and head off into sin. It's okay to have a brotherly love, but when you push too far... I can see the homosexuals trying in their mind, saying, you have love, you're just suppressing it. I can see that being a lie.
Of course, but that's his first point.
I know.
Okay? But I don't... That homosexuals don't say that about good, close
but,
friends.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
Okay.
I think they know it's a difference.
Okay. Now, his last point, we've got to hurry. That's why I'm a little anxious. Brother, this is what the man said. Brothers, if we display the love of Christ for one another, we may begin to establish credibility with the gay community. They don't believe we can love other men.
Yeah, I don't think...
Let's prove them wrong.
I don't think that's
perhaps then, after seeing the true light of the gospel love of Jesus, they will be drawn from darkness where Satan holds them captive and into the marvelous light of Christ's self-sacrificial love. That is about the stupidest statement I've ever heard. Please forgive me. Now, yes, Jesus said, by your love for one another, all men shall know that you belong to me, and we want to put the love of Christ on display. But what he is saying is, if we can show them we men can love each other, even though we're men, all of a sudden... See, here's the way I put it in my text, because I think this is a profound way to put it. First of all, he says, what I say is, I don't think that the homosexual community is going to suddenly be affected. First off, we're not taught in the scriptures to win homosexuals by talking about how we love men. We're to call them to love Christ. And yes, there's a difference between homoerotic love and brotherly love, but I don't think homosexuals are going to suddenly say, oh, as a Christian, I can love a man, just not in a homoerotic way. Sign me up!
Friends from a biblical world.
They're not going to do it!
That's archive broadcast.
You got to preach the gospel, right?
True.
Right!
And other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List.
The gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.